Excitement in this place. What's going on? Like, there's fire, there's joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo-hoo. We're glad that little Cree is here today. Praise God for a new little born, a little girl. Praise God for that. And Ricky, welcome. Glad that you can be here today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop because one of my favorite sharers is going to share today. Come on up, Crystal.
Well, good morning. And God is so good. And Alana, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. I was reading this morning, and it's just really good. I just wanted to share it with you. It's Psalm 81, verses 10 to 16. I'm just going to read that for a minute. It says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. Love that verse. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes? Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him. And their punishment would last forever. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat. With honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. I just feel that there's just so many people who kind of know that there's a God, and they haven't opened up their mouths wide to receive from him. So anyway, if you come to my house, I'm going to talk to you about birds because I really love birds, and I have a bird feeder, and I have a lot of really nice birds. And the reason I have a lot of really nice birds is because I feed them. And they open up their mouths, and they eat the black oiled sunflower seeds. And I have so many beautiful birds. And if you come in the morning when it's really quiet, you will hear hundreds of birds tweeting and just making really nice sounds. And I even have the ladies group that I teach, they gave me a bird box the other year, and I put it up, and I have some little birds living in there, and I discovered from my bird book that it's even unusual birds. They're tree swallows, which are unusual in this part of Alberta. And so God has blessed me with these birds. But every time I look at these birds, I go, you know, they're only there because I'm feeding them. I mean, God feeds them too. But they're attracted to those birds. But they have to open up their mouths and eat those seeds. Otherwise, they're not going to enjoy the benefits of those seeds. So anyway, if you look at the psalm, it says, God says, I brought you up out of Egypt. Just like he says to us, hey, look what remember what I've done for you? Remember what I've done for you. But then he says, because I've done this for you, you have a job to do. And your job is to open up your mouth. But if you open up your mouth, great things are going to happen. And then it goes on here and it says, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to protect you in these ways. I'm going to subdue your enemies. I'm going to turn your hand against your foes. And those who hate me are going to cringe before me. That's amazing. Only if we listen to God, if we just open up our mouths, and he's going to fill it. He's going to fill our mouth. I just love this. And the best promise at the end of this, it says, I'm going to feed you with the finest wheat and honey from a rock. Not just normal, ordinary food. Now, I know the keto people would probably go, well, I can't eat that. But from God, this is his best. It's his finest. It's his finest, his best. He's not going to just give us little morsels that's going to satisfy us for a little bit. No, he's going to give us his best, and he's going to put it in our mouth. And, you know, it struck me, too, that, you know, that what happens after it goes through your mouth? It goes into your, it goes into you, it goes into your stomach. It feeds every one of your cells. So I love this picture that, you know, if we would just open up our mouths and let God fill it, then we are going to, our whole being is going to be fed, right? Alvin was talking about the retreat, the board retreat that we went to Kingsville, and it was a very powerful, it's very short, 24 hours, 25 hours, it was a really short time, but in that time, we were able to do a lot of praying and a lot of sharing from our hearts. It was amazing, and we were opening up our mouths to receive from God. One of the first things we did was we just had everybody share. Everybody on the team, share. What's God doing? Where do you see God? In your life, in the life of the church, where do you see God? What are your concerns? So we got to share each other's. But when you hear what God's doing in somebody else's life, that's how God feeds you. He feeds you. He feeds your spirit, and your spirit grows, and your faith grows. And Margaret Eminell, she's not here today, she got a word from God, and that was the word more. More. And that became the theme of our whole retreat. More food. More. More healing. More from God. More of His Spirit. More of His power. He is a God of more. He is a God of more, and so good. You know, but we have to open up our mouths. And He doesn't just say, open up your mouth. He says, open wide your mouth. Really, really wide, okay? It's such a great, great verse. So, and not only were we able to enjoy each other's company and stuff, but the beauty of the place, another way that God fills our mouth. He shows us His incredible beauty of the mountains and the trees and the eagle. Oh, there was one time when we were sharing and we looked into the sky and this eagle just was soaring just beautifully, just in circles, right over us. That's how God fills our mouths. It was so beautiful. But we have to do a couple things. We have to remember what He's done for us. Like God brought him out of Egypt. And He says, because I brought you out of Egypt, you need to open up your mouth. So we need to remember what God has done for us. Remember. Don't forget. You know, I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm not going to get specific. I have a health issue. And it's kind of not nice. And it's not nice at all. And it has made me afraid. And it's been easy for me to shut my mouth in the last few days. It's been easy for me not to open my mouth to receive what God has for me. But this morning when I read this, I just thought, you know what? That's what's keeping me going these days. When I open up my mouth and I let Him fill it. So I guess I just wanted to share that this morning. He wants to completely satisfy us. Completely satisfy us. And with the finest of honey and the finest of wheat. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to open up your mouth wide. And that just doesn't happen unless we prostrate ourselves before Him. We have to be humble before Him. It's a position just like this little baby girl over here. Alana needs to feed her. If she doesn't feed her, she's going to die. That little girl is not going to make it unless Alana feeds her. But she's very helpless. She can't do anything. We have to be like that baby. We have to prostrate ourselves before God, humbly receive. And it's kind of awkward to open your mouth and let God fill it. But that's what we need to do. That's what He's asking us to do. So that's my encouragement for you today. I just want you to remember to open up your mouth for Him. And we're going to have communion today. That's another way that we can open up our mouths and let God's peace fill us. Thank you very much. God, I just want to lift this time up to you, Lord. You are here. You are so here this morning. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the celebration that we can just celebrate you today, God. You are here. Your Holy Spirit is in us. And God, I just pray for Stan now. I pray that you will put those words right in his mouth. Fill his mouth. Fill him with you, God. Help him to just share what you have given him in his heart. So, Lord, we just bless this time. And I pray that when we leave this place today, we will be satisfied. We will not be hungry. We will be full. Fully satisfied from you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
She's always a hard act to follow. That's good. Just one thing I want to make clear that she had mentioned. She said, we have hundreds of birds early in the morning, and if you ever came and saw them, she meant that, like, metaphorically, not literally. You know, don't be showing up at our place at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning to listen to the birds, okay? It was just an example, all right? All right. I want to just pray for a minute because there's a couple of people who have asked for prayer, and then we're going to get into God's Word, and then we're going to come to the Lord's table. Let's bow our heads. God, this is a great morning. I really sense your presence here and power of your Spirit, and thank you for Crystal's words. She speaks so clearly and deliberately and with such passion. Thank you, God, that all you require of us is that we open our mouths. You're so good. I want to pray for Alvin as he asks us to pray for him next week as they go and minister to family and talk to family in Saskatchewan, that there will be much fruit on the word as it's proclaimed and as it brought through Kathy and through Alvin. And for Marilise as well. Marilise has asked that we'd pray for her as she's heading to her family in East Canada. Lord, I pray that you will just let your hand and let your word rest upon her, that the word of God will flow from her generously and appropriately, and that it will be received well by her brothers and sisters and relatives, and that people will come to know exactly how much she loves Jesus. That's not hard because we see that in her so easily. I pray that her family will see that as well. Thank you, God. We just pray for our church. Thank you for our board. We remember them. I pray that our leaders will be strong, that they will be proclaimers of truth. Thank you that we are so privileged to be united. We have great unity, and we stand together. There's no division among us. Thank you, God. That's so powerful. And we just want to pray once again, God, that you would make that true in all of your church. We've been praying for unity. We've been praying that we could stand with the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Crossroad people and the Anglicans and whoever they are, God, whoever proclaims the name of Jesus. We stand with them today and say we are brothers and sisters. We don't look at our differences. We look at what we have in common. That we stand for Christ and that we're saved because of the blood of the Lamb of God. So make your church one. Make your church one, God. And when we worship again in a couple weeks, at the Lotus there on the 6th of July, Lord, may there be many who want to raise up the name of Jesus, that we praise your name and give you everything that you're worthy of. These are the things we pray, God. Just open your word now as we open our hearts, our mouths to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you open the Bible, I'm going to be looking at Psalm 80. Crystal did Psalm 81. We were on our way to church this morning and said, wow, God is keeping us real close here. You're doing Psalm. I didn't know what she was talking about, but Psalm 80, I'm going to read this kind of quickly because I was thinking about this morning, that sometimes giving a message, preaching a sermon, sometimes you're like an artist and you're working with a little brush, and sometimes it's like, if you're a really good artist, and I'm not, but you know, you're kind of very carefully painting from one thing to the next, and it's all kind of unfolding. Other times, artists kind of throw things at the canvas, and they hope something sticks. That's more like today, okay? Today's one of these days where I'm just going to be throwing stuff. I hope you catch some of it. I hope by the time we're done here today that you can say, you know what, I got something, and it's a pretty good portrait. Or not a portrait, but it's some kind of art, and I got the message, I got the truth, I opened my mouth, and I was fed today. So I want to read this kind of quickly because I have a lot to kind of say, and I got limited time. I want to spend time with the Lord in his supper as well. Psalm 80. This is a psalm of lament. Let me just explain this. This is a psalm where the Israelites were thinking about all the terribly hard things that they've been through. They had been ravaged by the Assyrians. Jerusalem had been destroyed. Jerusalem had not been destroyed yet, but they were being ravaged by their enemies. Later on, Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. And their enemies were winning, it seemed. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that way. Sometimes it feels like the enemy's winning. Sometimes it feels like God, you know, we don't know exactly where he is. Well, this is where David was when he wrote this. He'd go, God, where are you? Show up. You ever prayed that prayer before? God, show up. I need you now. I don't need you 10 years from now. I need you right now. And there's one theme that is repeated here three times. It's in verse 3 and verse 7 and verse 19. And I want you to just notice those as we read them. The same words are repeated. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. I'm going to read all of it. So let's read this together. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awake your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. There's that refrain again. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the sun that you yourself have raised for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man that you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. And then there's that refrain again. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. And all the people said. You notice that the psalmist David, he mentions that one refrain three times. It changes every time just a little bit. Let me just bring that out. The first time he says it, he says, restore us, O God. The second time he says, restore us, O God Almighty. And the last time that he says it, he says, restore us, O Lord God Almighty. He's getting a little more intense. He's getting a little more imploring of God. Restore us, O God. Restore us, O Lord God. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. We need to be restored. I'm going to start there. We need to be restored. The Israelites needed to be restored. They'd been ravaged. They'd been beaten up. They'd been their enemies had won. Their enemies seemed to conquer every time they turned. And the favor of the Lord seemed to have been removed from his people. It seemed like God had turned his back. We'll get to that in a minute. It seemed like God wasn't there when they were calling him. And so he uses that word, restore, God. Will you just restore your people? Restore us back to you. Restore us back to a right relationship. Restore us to the place where we have your favor, God, and where we can triumph over our enemies once again. I don't know about you, but that resonates with me. There are different times in my lives, maybe in my life, I should say I don't have lives, different times in my life that I have had to pray that prayer, and probably this is a prayer that kind of comes more regularly, even during the day sometimes, where you just feel like you're a little bit beaten up or things aren't going very well, or you go through a hard thing, or you're dealing with a conflict with somebody. And you just cry out to God. You say, God, I need you, and I need you now. I want you to restore, Lord. Maybe it's your health. Lord, restore my health, because no one else can. I just ask you this as we start this morning. You know, what is God saying to us as a church? What's he saying to you? What needs to be restored? Is it your marriage? Is it your financial picture? Is it your reputation? When we think about it hard enough, we go, you know, there are some things in my life that need to be restored and some things that only God can do. A lot of times we try to take things on our own. We think, I can fix this. I can make this work. If I just grit my teeth really hard, I can make this happen. But that's not where faith comes in. And most of the time we find out that that doesn't work anyways, that the only one who can really save me, there's only one who can save, and that is my God through Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? So just think about what God might be saying to you today when we talk about restoration, because I believe that there's many of us here today who need something restored. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's forgiveness. You need forgiveness from somebody else, or you need to grant forgiveness to somebody, you know, who's really hard to forgive. But you're still, you're in a jail. You're in a prison. You're chained unless you give this forgiveness, unless you offer it back. Unless you set them free, you'll never be free. What do you need to be restored from? And I believe that it's really interesting that that David says, the second part of what he says is, let your face shine upon us. Make your face shine upon us. One of the things I love about church here and that I love doing is at the end of pretty much every service, you know, I raise my hands, and part of that blessing, and this is the Aaronic blessing, that means it goes back to Aaron, the priest. He's the one who first did that, where he said, you know, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And then he ends by going, and may he cause his face to shine upon you. I love to have the privilege to be able to bless you that way. And I know that many of you love receiving that because it's about God's face. And really, the desire that we have to see the face of God, to feel the warmth, and to know that we are receiving the blessing that he wants to give us. When we're in that place where we need to be restored, when we're in that place where it feels like we're losing the battle or the enemy is winning, you know what it feels like? It feels like God has turned his face from us. That's how David was feeling. Is that really true? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But that's how it feels. And we get the real human David when he gives us this psalm in Psalm 80. He tells us, here's how it really feels, God. It feels like you've abandoned me. It feels like you've turned your face from me. It feels like I'm living in the shadow. You know what it's like to live in the shadow. When you feel like God's face isn't shining on you. When we're living in the shadow, we're not living in the bright light of the face of God. We're living in a shadow. We're just living in partial darkness. When you're living in a shadow, you don't see the face of God. When you don't see the face of God, then you don't know where he is. And we've been there before, right? Where are you, God? Why aren't you here? Why can't I see you? Why don't you make eye contact with me, Father? I need you to make eye contact. I'm living in the shadow. Why do you turn your face from me? Don't turn your face from me. Psalm 13. I think I have this marked here, but Psalm 13, he says it really well too. Listen to this, and tell me if this isn't sometimes how you feel. Oh Lord, how long? How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Prayed that before? I have. How long, God? How long is this going to take? How long am I going to be in this prison? How long am I going to have this bad reputation? How long is my enemy going to keep winning? How long is this going to go on for? Why don't you turn your face to me, Lord? Because I don't like living in the shadows. And when I live in the shadows, I don't know your identity because I can't see your face. And I don't have the knowledge, and I don't have the prophetic word either. I don't hear from you. I want to see your face. That's a good prayer. Make that your prayer today. God, I want to see your face. Turn your face towards me. And in a few minutes, I'm going to describe how he's actually always does that. That God no longer turns his face away from us. He might have done that in the Old Testament. He doesn't do that anymore. That's a good thing. You know, we don't understand. A lot of times we don't understand the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a huge difference because we live under a new dispensation, a new covenant, a covenant that is in the blood of Jesus. And because of Jesus Christ, his face is always turned towards us and we can receive and enjoy the glory of God. God doesn't do this anymore. Now I'm turning my face. Now I'm going to see you. Now I'm going to hide from you. Now I let you see me. No, God says, now through Christ, you can always see me. Through my son, there's always salvation, not just sometimes. I don't hide my face because I have allowed my son, Jesus, to be the savior of the world. And he shows himself to all who will open their eyes. It isn't God who turns his face from us. We turn our face from him. That's really the truth. Really the truth, right? Again, I'm just throwing things, so try to catch some of this stuff, okay? You see, I want to just try to explain that. In the Old Testament, God's people live by the law. They live by the Ten Commandments. They live by an old way that could never be good enough because every single day they had to do another sacrifice. It was never complete. The sacrifice never really covered everything. It only lasted for a little while, and then they had to do it again. Because of that, it felt like for them that God was always turning his back to them. Then they had to sacrifice again. Then God would turn his face away from them. Then they had to sacrifice to them again. But listen, this is really good news. Because of Jesus, God never needs to turn his back to us anymore. He can look right at us. We can experience his wonderful glory. We can see his face shine upon us. It isn't even just a wish or a prayer anymore that we say, may, you know, God's countenance or his face be upon you. We can just say it what it actually it is. His face is looking at us, right? That's wonderful news. It's great news. We live by an old law before Christ. We live by an old way. You know, Paul was way better at describing this than I am. He says this in 2 Corinthians 3. This is really important. He says, you know, when we lived by the old law, it was like we didn't see very clearly. We couldn't see. There was a veil that covered our faces. Let me read it. It says, their minds in the Old Testament, and people who lived according to the old way, their minds were made dull. For this, to this day, those who still are, who live by the law, to this day, that same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ can it be taken away. That's what I've been trying to say. Have you been getting that? Am I clear? Right? Only in Christ is the veil covered up. Or is the veil removed, I should say. Only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Now get this part. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom. And he completes the thought with this. He says, and we who with unveiled faces now, we all reflect the Lord's glory. And we are being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Give him a big hand. You understand what he's saying? He's saying we don't live by that old dispensation anymore. We don't live by that old covenant. We don't live by the law. The law was never good enough. It could never satisfy. It always needed to be repeated. Even when Moses took the law and came down from the mountain, or when he was up in the mountain, he tried to see the face of God. Moses had to turn away because he could not face God. He could not stand before God. But now because of Jesus, we can face God. We can receive the glory of the Lord. His face shines upon us. Not just sometimes, not just when he feels like it, always. Because Jesus Christ is that Son of righteousness. That Son of righteousness. And we live under his redemptive power. He has saved our lives once and for all. He shines his face on you, even when you might not feel like it or you think that he's hiding his face from you. It isn't true. David, in Psalm 80, asks a question, and I want to get to this. I've got a few minutes yet. But in Psalm 80, he asks the question. He says, you know, how are we going to be saved? That's the whole question. Lord, turn your face upon us that we might be saved. And he gives us the answer to that, really, in verse 17. He says this, let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man that you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us and we will call on your name. And who's he talking about? It's always a safe answer when someone asks that question. Right? You learn that in Sunday school. What did you learn in Sunday school today? Who'd you learn about? Jesus. That's a good answer today, right? Today the answer is Jesus. How do we get restored? How does God shine his face upon us? How are we saved? Through Jesus. He is the man of God's choosing. He is the man at God's right hand. He is the Son of Man. What God promised to David is that this lineage of David, this kingdom of David, was going to be forever and ever and ever. It was going to be a new covenant and a new kingdom, and that it would be culminating in Jesus Christ. He would be born from the household of David, in the kingship, and in the lineage of David. And I got so much, but I got to just read you this so you get this. In Psalm 89. All right. Psalm 89. You have no idea how much more I've got to go. Psalm 89, verse 27. Listen to the promise of God. This is the promise that he makes that he is going to send his son in this lineage, and the sun is going to shine like it never has shone before. Verse 27. I will also appoint my firstborn, the most exalted of the kings of the earth. I will maintain my love to him. He's talking about his own son, Jesus, here. I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his line forever, his throne as long as the heavens endure. Wow. If his sons forsake my law and do not follow my statutes, if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sins, but I will not take my love from him. Amen. I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. And then just at the end, verse 36. And of his lineage, or of his line, there will continue forever. And his throne will endure before me like the sun. Isn't that great? It's going to shine. The kingdom of our God. It's going to shine. His face shines upon us. And I will establish the sun and I will establish the moon forever to be a faithful witness for you in the sky. Amen? Amen. That's awesome. The word that three times, I'm going to end with this thought today, but you know, there's that refrain, right? Three times where David repeats that refrain, God, restore us. And then he says, let your face shine upon us. And he says, okay, God, and save us. I just want you to understand the word restore today. That word restore is really the Hebrew word hashavenu. Hashavenu. It's a Hebrew word. It's only used four times in the Old Testament. Three of the times in the Old Testament that it's used are in Psalm 80. Hashavenu. It means God restore us. Hashavenu. The other time that it's used is in Lamentations. Lamentations is a book that you should read if you are in a particularly good mood and you don't want to be in that good mood for very long. If you find yourself just way too happy someday, read Lamentations, because it'll sober you up a little bit. You'll be somber. Lamentations is exactly what it says. It's lamenting. And this is a book that was written later on. It was actually written after the fall of the temple and the fall of Jerusalem. Lamentations is written mourning. Mourning and weeping for what has happened to God's people. And it's a book completely full of moaning about what has happened and about how Israel has turned her back on God and that God has turned his face away from his people. And the last, I want you to know this, why this is important is because this word, hashavenu, is used in the second to last verse in Lamentations. In the second to last verse of Lamentations, let me read that for you. It's in verse chapter 5, verse 21. And this isn't something that just comes out of, you know, under the context of useless information that you'll never need to know, okay? This is actually important stuff that you're going to want to know, all right? So here we go. The second to last verse in Lamentations, that word, hashavenu, is in this context. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. Now, why is that significant? It's significant because even Jewish people today, when they read Lamentations, and they do from time to time. Actually, there's a day in the Jewish calendar that's the ninth day in the month of Av, which is kind of our July and August, where it's called the saddest day. They have the calendar, they got the happiest day, they got joy, they got victory, they've got Passover, they've got all the celebrations, but there is one time in the Jewish calendar in their fifth month where they read the book of Lamentations together, and they're still doing that today. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times at the Wailing Wall, people will read Lamentations. But when the reader or when the priest would get to that second to last line, he would stop and the people would repeat it back to him. So here's what it would sound like. I don't know. I studied Hebrew for 2 or 3 years, but I don't have it all memorized. Sorry about that. But here's what it would sound like. Hashavenu Adonai, which means, Lord, return us to yourself. Hashavenu Adonai Elaka Vena Shuva Kadesh Yamenu Kakadim. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Now, I think that is weighty enough that we ought to hear it a couple times. So if you were a Jew today, or even if you were a Jew back in the days of Jeremiah and the prophets and in the days of Lamentations, you would be listening to this. He would read through, and then he would stop at these words, and then the people would repeat this to him. Hashuvenu Adonai, Aleka Vena Sheva, Kadesh Yamenu Kakadim. Turn us back, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Turn us back, and we shall return. Turn us back. Hashavenu Adonai, turn us back, O Lord. Turn us back to you. Why is that important? Because what's important that we understand today is that when we're asking this of God, we're not asking God to restore stuff to us. We're not asking God to revive his church. We're not asking God to give us back something that the devil stole. That might be a different prayer. This prayer is that God restores us. And we ask him to do it. We recognize we can't do this ourselves. Right? Hashuvenu Adonai, restore me, God. Restore this heart back to you. Restore this back to you. Restore me. Not some other thing to me, not give me, you know, we said earlier, I asked you those questions, what needs to be restored in your life? I gave you some of the examples like your reputation or your financial situation or your health. You know what? None of that is what this is about, though. This is about God restoring me. Restore me back to you, God, so that I can serve you and know you. Restore me back to you, and I will return to you, is literally what it says. And I think it's so cool that the priest or the reader would read that, and the people would say it after him. And then he would do it again. It happened at least 3 or 4 times that he would do it. He would stop in his reading of the book of Lamentations. And he would repeat it, and the people would say it after them. This is our prayer today, God. Hash uvenu Adonai. Restore. Return me back to you, O God. Return me back to you. How is God laying that on your heart today? Does God want you back? Is there a part of your life that used to be surrendered to him and is no longer surrendered to him? Or maybe it's your whole life. And God is saying, I want you back. And are you prepared today to make that your prayer? Hashuvenu Adonai, return me back to you, God. What needs to be returned? Let me ask you this question. What needs to be returned back to God? Where are you? What have you been doing? How are you living? How close are you to Adonai? Are you ready to make that a prayer today? Return, God. Restore me back to you. That we may return, renew our days as of old. God, I've slipped from you. I've wandered from you. I have been following the things of man and not the things of you. Maybe that's your prayer. I used to have a burning passion, and now It's kind of dribbled away. Let me tell you something, one more little thing. Again, not under the heading of things you don't need to know. Something that's really kind of cool to know. The book of Lamentations, the name Lamentations, the actual name of the title of this book in the Bible is from the word called Ika in the Hebrew. And it's really a question mark. It's the whole book is actually a question mark, and it can be either how or who are you? I'm sorry, where are you? Where are you? And it's and most people believe that the book of Lamentations, that the title of it is really that. Where are you? Where are you? Because that's what God's asking today. Where are you? Where have you been? Where's your heart? You know, it's the very same thing, actually, that God said to Adam when Adam in the garden broke covenant with God. God appeared on a scene, and he said, where are you, Adam? Where are you? Where are you at? And I want to leave you with that question, okay? Where are you? Thanks a lot. Yeah. Where are you, God says? Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you resting in my arms? Are you receiving the full sunlight, the shining of my grace, the favor of God? Are you receiving everything I have for you? Where are you? Where have you been? Where have you been? You know, that's a hard question to hear. I don't think I stand alone when I say that, you know, I have felt this. I've heard God say that to me in my life, and I think probably, I hope at least, I'm not the only one who's heard that. There's some misery in company. We've all been there before where God goes, you know, where have you been, Stan? Where in the world are you? Hashuvenu Adonai. Return my heart back to you, God, because only you can actually do that. I can't even return my own heart. But Adonai, you can turn my heart back to you, and I can be in that right relationship that I really need to be. And I hear you today. I hear you today. So as we come to the Lord's table, I would ask you, and I believe it's God asking, where have you been? Return to me, your Father says. Return to me. Come to me. My arms are wide open for you. And by the way, whatever you've been doing other than being in my presence, whatever you've been doing, whatever you've been so busy at, hasn't been worth it. And it hasn't been where I want you to be. Hashuvenu Adonai. Lord, would you return my heart back to you, that we may return and renew our days as of old. I'm going to ask you in a few moments just to come and take a piece of bread and take one of the little juice cups and then just go back and sit in your chair. We're not going to stand in a circle today. I simply want to just end this service with a question. This is a question. Where have you been? And know that you've got a great God who welcomes you back. Some of you are here for the first time. I hope you feel welcome and you know that the presence of God is here. But it's been time for you to return. Amen? It's been a good thing. We need to be in the presence of God. So just in a few minutes, I'm going to say, hey, while we play a little music, come to the front and ponder this. Take a few minutes to think about what God is saying. What is God asking of you? And when God says, where have you been? Maybe it's a good thing to just sit down and pray a little bit and respond to that. I'm going to pray. And then I think there's some music that's ready to go. Take the cup, take the bread. Don't drink or eat yet. Just go back to your chair. Later on, we'll eat together. Take a few minutes and just listen to Adonai. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, O God, that you shine your face on us, that you don't hide your face, and that because of Jesus, we can come to the Father anytime. and that you want to make eye contact. You want us to be your children. And that you call us to return. This morning we confess, we repent, because we've been busy doing a lot of other things. And we've been distracted. We've been led down the wrong road by the enemy, and we've willfully followed him. Because we are not, sometimes, for some of us at least, we're not where you've asked us to be. And so today, Father, when we hear you ask that question, where are you? We want to answer the question by saying, we're right here with you. We're right here with you in right standing because we're saved by grace and because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you that today we can eat and drink and remember that your face does shine on us always. Amen. Come on up. Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. That's his smiling face. May God lift up his smiling face upon you and give you his peace. And all the people said, amen. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Give him a big hand. Woo! Well, I was going to say we're done. You can go anytime you want, so it's a free country. We'll just, let's do that There's a Cloud song just as we leave, or leave if you need to. And I love that, you know, it says that there's a cloud come, the dry season is over. Yeah.